Despite the mixed success rate of sniffer dogs, police can still use them as a reason to search people in public places like festivals and train stations. Now, new data compiled by New South Wales Greens MP shows the number of strip searches carried out in New South Wales is skyrocketing. With their stability or with their reliability under question, why are New South Wales police conducting ever more of these invasive strip searches? Daniel Butler has the story.
Sniffer dogs made headlines again earlier this year when police confirmed that festival goers, if stopped because a dog gave indications the person was carrying drugs, would not be allowed to enter the festival even if they were found not to be carrying any illicit substances. Police can use any interest shown by a sniffer dog towards a member of the public as grounds for conducting an initial search on that person. If a police officer suspects that the person is concealing drugs, they may decide to strip search them. Over the last few years, the number of initial searches prompted by a drug dog has seen a decline.
But then the trend on strip searches has gone exactly in the opposite direction. From an average of about 300, 400, or 500 a year throughout most of the time we've tracked the data, surging now last year to over 1,100, and on the partial data we have for this year, on track for more than 1,500 strip searches.
This is David Shoebridge. He's a Greens MP in the New South Wales Assembly. Through questions on notice to Parliament, he collected the data showing this explosion in the number of strip searches.
And when it comes to strip searches, they are the most intrusive, the most humiliating, and I believe the most harmful aspect of the drug dog program. And to see that increasing so spectacularly, I think shows an attitude in the drug dog unit that their dogs don't get it wrong. But we know from the data their dogs are getting it wrong a lot of the time, and two-thirds of those strip searches actually find nothing.
Mr. Shoebridge says that the behaviour of the drug dog unit is harming the work done by other sectors of the force to foster better relations with the community.
There are people within the police who recognise how damaging the drug dog program is, damaging of relations, particularly with communities that the police, other parts of the police, are trying to foster more positive relationships with, you know, the Aboriginal community, young people, students. These are parts of the community that police often have trouble getting a relationship with in the first place, and the drug dog unit just spoils that relationship and further complicates it.
Mr. Shoebridge says the data show a disproportionate effect on certain demographics. He says the disaffection fostered by drug dogs is understandable.
If I was a young person of colour, and I was getting off at Redfern Station and constantly seeing the drug dogs being subject to searches and intrusive strip searches, I would think badly of the police as well. And there are plenty of people in the police who recognise that's a problem, and they recognise as well that the drug dog unit is utterly useless in terms of the so-called war on drugs.
Investigations into strip searches show they can be distressing and traumatic for those on the receiving end. With the success rate of sniffer dogs under question, how is it that the law relies on them so heavily?
The victims of this kind of civil liberties violation are probably a demographic with not the most strong political voice.
Jared Bartle is a sessional lecturer in criminal law at RMIT. He says the laws around strip searching are dangerously ambiguous.
You know, there's nothing specifically outlined in the legislation to say that it has to be in, you know, a secluded room with only one officer. You know, the kind of things that you would expect to have in a piece of legislation dealing with strip searches aren't there. And I think it is something that is particularly susceptible to abuse.
Mr. Bartle says that the ability of officers to strip search members of the public sets a dangerous precedent for our civil liberties.
They're meant to ensure that groups, particularly vulnerable groups, are not being harassed by police. They're not having their privacy violated. They're not being unduly harassed whilst they go about their day-to-day life or, you know, seek entertainment at a festival. And the fact that this seems to be so easily politically justified, even though we know it increases health risks and is largely ineffective at what it's seeking to do, it's incredibly troubling.
In budget estimates just last week, Mr. Shoebridge asked the police commissioner why there had been this spike in searches. He didn't receive a response, and nor indeed did we, when we approached New South Wales Police today. Mr. Shoebridge believes the optics of drug dogs provides an answer.
There are people within the police who see that the drug dogs are a good PR exercise. The police are spectacularly failing on the war on drugs, but at least they have something to put on the 6 o'clock news. Here's police with a dog. The dog's found some drugs. Police, dogs, drugs. That just sells for the 6 o'clock news, and the police are seen to do something.
Upper House Greens MP David Shoebridge ending that report by Daniel Butler.